It's a long way from the hushed quiet of Cambridge University Library to the triumphant certainties of the Soviet Union at its height. But this new exhibition aims to provide insights into life in the USSR by looking at design. Mel Bach is the show's curator.
We are telling the story of the Soviet period, but through a strange angle. We're telling it through design. So you see, you know, we have a lot of things to do with, for example, the Stalinist period, about socialist realism coming to the fore, about monumental architecture. We have the earlier Soviet period shown through these kind of, you know, real extraordinary kind of, you know, boundary pushing designs. We have the later Soviet period with its packaging. The very first thing they see when they walk in is this wonderful poster. It's a 1947 poster, and it speaks of post-war optimism. And it's actually about architecture and design. So we see in the middle the major figure of this kind of dreaming architecture looking to the future. Basically, behind him there are two scenes. One of them is the plan of a building that he has done, and on the side that he's looking towards is the building being made. And the title of the poster is "We'll Turn the Plan into Reality." And that really, I don't think you need to understand Russian to understand what they're getting at there. It's a really lovely kind of optimistic post-war vision.
Emma Widdis, head of the Department of Slavonic Studies at Cambridge, says it's hard to underestimate how radical the Soviet project was, and design played its part.
The revolutionary project wasn't just about a new political or social order, it was about literally constructing a new way of living in the world, and from the beginning it was very, very clear that artists had a major role to play in that, and that, you know, in fact, aesthetics aren't just aesthetics. Aesthetics weren't just aesthetics. They were about changing the way people saw the world.
Ecstatic crowds greet a speech by Stalin in 1937. His accession to power was marked by a narrowing of artistic horizons and an emphasis on state-approved forms and styles.
What we've chosen is to talk here about socialist realism, because socialist realism basically ended up being kind of, it ended up being
the dominant
architectural and artistic. Yes, yeah. Exactly. And basically, the reason for that is that it essentially was approved by the government. It was kind of a government-sponsored form of art, which is just extraordinary. So what we've got here, we've got two postcards that show that. And of course, for them, when they talk about socialist realism, there are lots of things about work. You know, work was kind of to be absolutely kind of, you know, put on a pedestal. And so what we've got here on the left-hand side, we've got a very, very typical socialist realist painting, showing men rather nicely as part of this collection, working on a building site, and the kind of very much kind of heroic stances.
And here we have the other side of work, why you do work, consumption. And the thing that struck me about this one was the ration coupons from just post-war Leningrad, 1947.
Yes, I think that these are particular examples of what for me are so interesting when you think about what they meant to the people who had them. So these are all post-war, but Leningrad, of course, you know, during the siege, you know, it had suffered in a way that kind of not many other cities suffered to that extent for that length of time. So this is 1947, it's not during the war, but nevertheless, to see these things, so you have them for bread, for fat and oil, for cereal, for sweet food. What they always say on them is that, you know, if this is lost, it won't, you know, it can't be replaced, which of course you would understand presumably from the point of view of making sure that you don't have bootlegging or something. But if you think that for the people who had them, if you lost them, I mean, what that would mean for you practically. But so it's really interesting seeing these, because I think, you know, what we've got mainly in this case is examples of what you could buy. And I think it's really important that we don't forget there were plenty of times when you couldn't buy anything.
All the exhibits come from the collection of Catherine Cook, a Cambridge academic who left them to the university library after her death in 2004. So would she have enjoyed her collection going on public display? Emma Widdis, who knew her, has no doubts.
I think she'd have loved the exhibition. Yeah, I found it really very moving, and I think many of Catherine's friends who came to the opening last week felt the same.